was too high into the cold abyss above, but Leviathan knew it would be death to remain at this depth, where no food at all was available. Slowly, cautiously, Leviathan made its flotation members expand. The immense creature drifted higher, nearing exhaustion, nearing the moment when its members would instinctively disintegrate and begin their individual buddings in the last desperate hope of survival by spawning offspring. The old instincts would be of no avail now, Leviathan knew. The members could separate and reproduce themselves in the hope of uniting into renewed assemblies, but what good would that do where there was not enough food even for one? Even if a few individual members survived temporarily, how could they live without the unity of all the others? Apart, they were helpless. What could flagella members do without a brain to guide them? How could a brain member exist without the sensor members and digestive members and... Leviathan halted its pointless musing. There was food drifting in the currents above. The sensor members felt its faint echo vibrating through the water. The storm's merciless flow swept the particles into its own mindless vortex before they could sift down to the comfortable level where Leviathan swam. It would be cold up there, numbingly cold. Leviathan's kind traced tales of foolish youngsters who rose too high in their haughty search to outdo their elders and never returned, disintegrated by the cold and their members devoured by darters or the eerie creatures that haunted the abyss above. But remaining at this level meant starvation. Leviathan needed enough food to allow it to circle around the great storm and return to the familiar region where the food rained down without fail. Upward, Leviathan rose, straining against the growing cold, heading toward the meager trickle of food that its sensor members had detected. It was not food, Leviathan realized. Despite the numbing cold and the continuing pain signals from its wounded members, Leviathan's eye part showed that the echoes the sensors detected came not from a thin stream of food particles, but from one single particle, much larger than any food Leviathan had ever known, yet puny compared to Leviathan, or even to the darters. It was that alien thing that had been seen before, far, far off in the distance, up so high that Leviathan dared not even try to approach it. A strange, circular object was struggling through the abyss above, sending out eerie signals that made no sense whatsoever. Is this real? Leviathan wondered. Or are we so close to disintegration that our brain is beginning to fail? The alien continued to flash signals mindlessly into the empty ocean, totally oblivious to Leviathan drifting in the cold, empty sea, far out of range of its sensing systems.
Emergency. Grant left Dr. Woe's office feeling strangely upset, conflicted, wondering where his true loyalties lay, what he was truly loyal to. He threw himself on his bed and immediately fell into an exhausted, dreamless sleep. The next morning, he took his shift at the Mission Control Center and spent 4 hours looking at the silent consoles and dead wall screen. Nacho Quintero relieved him, laughing about his latest prank. Last night, he'd sprayed epoxy on the cafeteria chair next to his own. Kayla sat in it and couldn't get out, Quintero wheezed, laughing almost to the point of tears. She had to unzip her coveralls and wiggle out of them. You ought to see the underwear she's got. He waved a big, meaty hand as if to fan himself. As Nacho got up from his chair, Grant said, I'll bet Kayla really loves you for that. Quintero's laughter doubled, and tears actually did leak from his squeezed shut eyes. You should have seen it. She grabbed one of Red's fry pans and chased me halfway down to the aquarium. Grant made an amused face, mumbled the right words, and left Quintero still shaking with laughter. Once outside the control center, he headed for the fluid dynamics lab. It's time to get back to my thesis, he told himself. He plopped down in one of the lab's little wheeled chairs and called up the three-dimensional map he'd made of the Jovian ocean currents. But he could not concentrate on the work. Woe's confession of guilt, his near-paranoid fears of the zealots, the others, Zeb Lane and all, in the sub, probing the depths of the Jovian ocean. And here I sit, worrying about my damnable thesis, he told himself. Then another voice in his mind said, That's not what's bothering you. I know, Grant admitted. was Sheena. Grant felt terrible that he had ruined Irene Pascal's experiment, and even worse that he had hurt the gorilla. It's like betraying a child, he thought. Sheena trusted me, and now she doesn't. How could she? With a startled flare of recognition, Grant realized that he had come to like Sheena as a friend, a 2-year-old friend perhaps, but the relationship between them had become important to him. How can I rebuild that trust? How can I become her friend again? He hauled himself to his feet. You can't do it here, he said to himself. You've got to go down to her pen and face her. His fists clenched at his sides, his insides fluttering, Grant strode along the main corridor toward the aquarium. He passed dozens of people, scooters and coverall-clad technicians, and administrators in their neatly pressed shirts and slacks, all of them working on the studies of Jupiter's moons, all of them intent on their careers, their lives. There's only 10 of us involved in the real work, Grant reminded himself, 11 counting Woe. None of these others knows what we're doing. Or do they, he wondered. It's impossible to keep the deep mission totally secret. Certainly Red Devlin knows more about it than he should. Anybody can see that the submersible is gone. Looking into the faces of the people as he passed them, Grant asked himself, which one of them is a zealot? Which one of them would kill us all just to stop Woe's crazy notion that there's intelligent life down there? God, he's just as fanatical as any of them. Grant found himself in front of the closed hatch that led to the aquarium. A new graffito had been scrawled in blood-red ink next to the keypad on the bulkhead. If fish is brain food, why ain't we smart enough to get home? With a sigh of understanding, Grant tapped out the entry code. The lock clicked, and Grant pushed through. The aquarium was chilly and quiet. No one here. Grant walked slowly, hesitantly along the big tanks, seeing the gliding, gulping fish only out of the corner of his eye. She ought to be around here someplace, Grant thought. She wouldn't be in her pen in the middle of the day. But Sheena was nowhere to be found. With a sudden lurch in the pit of his stomach, Grant bolted from the aquarium and sprinted for the surgical laboratory down by the station's infirmary. Sheena? The lone nurse on duty at the infirmary glared at him. I wouldn't let that ape within 50 kilometers of here. Do you have any idea what she did the last time we tried to work on her? Leaving the angry-faced nurse, Grant went to the first wall phone he could find out in the corridor and asked the computer where Sheena was. There is no listing under Sheena, said the synthesized voice. She doesn't have a phone, Grant realized. That was stupid. Not knowing what else to do, Grant asked the phone for Dr. Woe. The director is not to be disturbed, except for emergencies. This is an emergency, Grant snapped. Woe's face immediately appeared on the phone's tiny screen. I am unable to take your call. Leave a message. Grant wanted to pound the wall with frustration. Dr. Woe, I can't find Sheena. Nobody seems to know where she is. The screen went blank. Security, Grant thought. I ought to notify security. If Sheena's loose somewhere in the station... He hesitated. Security might panic. They might hurt her. He made up his mind and strode through the corridor to the administrative area. I wonder who's on security this week. Maybe it's somebody I know. It was a stranger sitting behind the minuscule desk of the security office. A tall, rangy man with a stubbly beard and dark, tousled hair. He wore a zippered set of coveralls. Probably a technician of some sort, Grant thought. This may be silly, he started without introducing himself. But Sheena seems to be missing and...
The gorilla?
Yes, she's not in her... This time of day, she's usually taking her afternoon exercise in the gym. Did you look there? Grant gaped at him.
The gym?
No, I didn't know. The security officer punched at his phone keypad. Hey, Ernie, is the monkey in there with you? Grant couldn't see the phone screen, but he heard the reply. Sure, she's playing with the...
Emergency,
the overhead speaker blared.